Hello and welcome to this podcast, which covers the discussions at the June meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board, held in London from the 20th to the 22nd of June 2016. My name is Adele Gilbert, and I'm part of the External Affairs team at the IFRS Foundation. I am joined by Gary Kaburek, board member, and Hugh Shields, Executive Technical Director, to talk through the discussions and decisions taken at the June meeting. Before we start, I'll mention the normal caveat. The views shared in this podcast are those of the participants. They don't necessarily represent those of the board. Gary, can you start with the discussions on goodwill and impairment?
Sure, and thank you, Adele. Before I go into goodwill, today we're going to cover four topics discussed during the IASB's June meeting: goodwill and impairments, the conceptual framework, an update on insurance, and an interpretations committee matter. But beginning with goodwill, we had a joint education session with the FASB on the accounting for goodwill and related impairment accounting. By way of background, today the accounting for goodwill is converged, and while there are a number of similarities, the accounting for asset impairments, including for goodwill and on acquired intangibles, is not converged. Both boards are working on similar identified issues arising from their recent respective post-implementation reviews of these standards. This meeting was for education and information sharing purposes only. The staffs of the two boards presented papers summarizing the work completed to date and the expected next steps on the projects. While there was a fulsome discussion and exchange of views, no decisions were requested nor made. The two boards will continue to monitor each other's work. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to Hugh for an update on some other aspects of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Gary. And I'll first talk about the discussions and deliberations on the insurance contracts project. And the board discussed a number of narrow scope issues which have emerged from the drafting work, which is currently ongoing. And you may recall that earlier on in the year, in February, when the board completed its deliberations on the insurance contract standard, the board have instructed the staff to proceed with the drafting process. So firstly then, the first topic the board discussed relates to the level of aggregation for the measurement of the contractual service margin. And here, the board tentatively decided a number of things. Firstly, that the objective for the adjustment and allocation of the contractual service margin should be that that margin at the end of a reporting period represents the profit for the future services to be provided for a group of contracts. The board also tentatively decided that an entity should measure this conceptual contractual service margin using the group which has been used for deciding when contracts are onerous. And what that means then is that an entity should measure the contractual service margin by grouping insurance contracts that inception have expected cash flows the entity expects will respond similarly in terms of amount and timing to changes in key assumptions, and also have similar expected profitability. And finally, the board also noted that an entity should reflect the expected duration and size of the contracts remaining in the group at the end of the period when allocating that contractual service margin of the group of contracts to the profit or loss statement. So that was the first topic that the board discussed. Next, the board discussed changes in the carrying amount of the contractual service margin for insurance contracts without direct participation features. And here, the board tentatively decided to revise the guidance in the forthcoming standard on changes in the fulfilment cash flows relating both to future service, and hence adjust the contractual service margin, as well as current and past service, and hence which do not adjust the contractual service margin. If you would like to see that revised text, it's in the appendix of Agenda Paper 2B from the June papers. Next up, the board discussed the presentation and disclosure of finance income or expenses. Here, the board tentatively decided that an entity need not disaggregate the change in the risk adjustment into a finance component and an underwriting component. And if the entity does not disaggregate the risk adjustment, it should present the entire change in the risk adjustment as part of the underwriting result. The board also tentatively decided that an entity should disclose whether the change in the risk adjustment is disaggregated into a financial component and an underwriting component, or presented as part of the underlying underwriting result. The board also tentatively decided that the objective of disaggregating insurance finance income or expenses between profit or loss and other comprehensive income should not be to present insurance finance income or expenses in profit or loss on a cost measurement basis, but rather the objective should be to present in profit or loss in terms of a systematic allocation of the total expected insurance finance income or expenses over the life of the contract. And if you want further details on what we mean by systematic allocation, you can also find that analysis in the papers. In terms of this part of the discussion, the board also tentatively decided that the forthcoming insurance contract standard should provide further guidance that for insurance contracts for which changes in assumptions do not have a substantial effect on the amounts paid for the policyholder, then the systematic allocation is determined using the discount rate applicable at the inception of the contract. And for those insurance contracts for which changes in financial assumptions do have a substantial effect on the amounts paid to the policyholder, then the systematic allocation can be determined in one of two different ways. And as I say, the more detail is in the board papers on that. The board continued its discussion of presentation and disclosure of insurance finance income or expenses, noting that it would not require an entity to disclose an analysis of the total insurance finance income or expenses recognised in the statement of performance, disaggregated at a minimum into the following: the interest accretion calculated using current discount rates, the effect of changes in discount rates in the period, and the difference between the present value of changes in expected cash flows that adjust the contractual service margin, measured using discount rates that applied on initial recognition of those insurance contracts and measured at current rates. The board also tentatively decided that it would include an objective in the forthcoming standard that an entity should explain the total amount of insurance finance income or expenses in a reporting period, and gave some guidance on how that objective should be fulfilled. Finally, in relation to insurance contracts, the board discussed reinsurance contracts and the scope of the variable fee approach. And here the board tentatively decided that an entity should not apply the variable fee approach to either reinsurance contracts issued or reinsurance contracts held. Let me just say a few words about the next steps, some detail here. So the staff will now be taking these tentative decisions into a revised working draft and using that draft as a basis for seeking input from selected external parties on some aspects of the revised draft. The board expects to discuss further sweep issues that arise from testing and from the continuing drafting process in the third quarter of the year. And at that time, the board will also set a mandatory effective date for the standard. So that completed the board's discussions of the insurance contracts standard. I'll now move on to talk about the board's deliberations on the conceptual framework, and here the board discussed both definitions of income and expenses and information about financial performance. So firstly then, in relation to definitions of income and expenses, the board tentatively decided to confirm the definitions of income and expenses which had been proposed in the exposure draft, and not to include in the revised conceptual framework a discussion of the typical types of transactions and other events that may give rise to income expenses. And then in relation to information about financial performance, and a few points here, the board tentatively decided that the revised framework would describe the statement of profit or loss as the primary source of information about an entity's financial performance, but would not set out the purpose of that statement. That the revised conceptual framework will include a principle that income and expenses should be included in the statement of profit or loss unless the relevance or faithful representation of the information provided in the statement of profit or loss would be enhanced by including a change in the current value of an asset or liability and other comprehensive income. And this principle replaces the rebuttable presumption that had previously been described. And I think the board felt that using language like rebuttable presumption is more something that you would expect to find in standard setting rather than in the conceptual framework. The board also decided, or tentatively decided, to state that a decision about including income and expenses in other comprehensive income can be made only by the board in setting standards. It further stated that in principle, income and expenses included in OCI should be recycled when doing so would enhance the relevance or faithful representation of the information in the statement of profit or loss. And again, this principle replaces a rebuttable presumption that had previously been referred to. The board also tentatively decided to state that income and expenses including in OCI may not be recycled if, for example, there is no clear basis for identifying the period in which recycling should occur or the amount that should be recycled. And finally, the board tentatively decided to state that a decision about whether and when income and expenses included in OCI should be recycled can only be made by the board in setting standards. And with that, I shall pass back to Gary to complete the discussion.
Thank you, Hugh. In June, the board discussed one interpretation committee topic, the accounting for income tax consequences of payments on and issuing costs of financial instruments classified as equity. The Interpretations Committee recently recommended that the board should propose an amendment to IAS 12 to clarify the presentation requirements of the income tax consequences of tax-deductible payments for equity-related items such as dividends, which may or may not be considered distribution of profits, issuance costs, and similar items, for which arguably clear guidance currently does not exist in IAS 12. The board agreed with the Interpretation Committee's recommendations. Accordingly, the board will propose via a forthcoming annual improvement process exposure draft that the presentation of income tax consequences related to items accounted for as or within equity, that those tax consequences should also be presented within equity. And with that, I will turn this back to Adele.
Thank you, Gary and Hugh. For more details, the official summary of the board meeting, called IASB Update, can be found on the IFRS Foundation's website, www.ifrs.org. That contains more detailed information on the topics covered at the June meeting. The next board meeting is scheduled for the week commencing the 18th of July. Thank you for listening.